verse I read about in the pages of the Bible, and I hope you do too. We don't say things like that with arrogance or a haughty attitude or that we're better than anybody. Certainly we're not. We don't deserve God's grace. We don't deserve salvation, but God in His mercy made it available to us. But I'm thankful that we can be a member of the church that we read about on the pages of the Bible. And that's not something that is only confined to us. All mankind can be a member of the church and read about the Bible if they desire to do so. But we know that the reality is that the vast majority of religious-minded people choose to be in the religious groups that they're a member of for one reason or another. Sometimes folks are caught by surprise when maybe you're going to have a Bible study with them and you invite them to sit down with you at the table to talk about the Bible. And maybe you'll just be right up front with them and say, you know, the aim of this study is I want to convert you to the Church of Christ. I want you to leave the church that you're now a member of, and I want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. They're caught by surprise when you say things like that. We don't try to hide that from them. We don't say, well, we're just going to have a study with them, and they'll figure it out along the way. I want folks to know, if you study with me, I want you to be a member of the church that you read about in the Bible. I'm not trying to hide that from you. That's my aim. That's the motive for trying to study with you, is I want you to be converted. So this morning we talked about some things that the Lord's church does not have. And we're thankful for that. But tonight I want us to focus on some things that the Lord's church does have. And last week we talked about in the church, taken again from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, some things that those in the church have, that only it's possible in the church. And so I gave you, I don't know, a list of maybe 10 or so, maybe more things in the church. Tonight I want us to talk about a few things, 9 or 10, 7 or so, however many we get to. Things that the Lord's church does have. And the first one I want you to think about, by the way, Psalm 122, verse 1, I think I mentioned that to you this morning. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And again, the church is identified as the house of the Lord, 1 Timothy 3:15. The church does have joy. I've been told by people, asked by people, doesn't God just want me to be happy? Well, God wants us to enjoy life. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you read in the book of Ecclesiastes, and numerous times it's given to man to rejoice in the things that God's given to him. God wants us to enjoy the good things of life. He wants us to be happy with those things that He's created, but it's not always about happiness. There's a difference between joy and being happy. Happy is tied to happenstance. It's often tied to the circumstance that I find myself in. Joy is not like that. Joy transcends that. Joy is often tied to the anticipation of better things to come. That though I'm not in a good situation at the time, I can still have joy as a child of God. And we see that throughout the Scriptures. In John chapter 15 and in verse 11, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I think about Matthew chapter 5 when the Lord said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Well, how on earth can we be joyous in times like that? Because of better things to come. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and following, when he talks about looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of God. Now, that doesn't mean he was happy, but he had joy that was set before him. And as a result of that, he endured the cross. In Acts 13:52, the disciples were filled with joy. One of the parts of the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible doesn't say the fruits, plural, of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. And then he lists several of those things that's included in that fruit. And one of which is joy, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And so we ought to have joy that God expects us, that He desires for us to have, knowing that there remaineth a rest unto the people of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. Blessed are they that die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them. Revelation 14 and in verse 13. But I tell you something else that we have as being members of the body of Christ, and that's peace. Bible often, I gave several references on the screen that talks about peace, but we're not going to read all of them. But if you come to Mark chapter 9 and in verse 50, you think about many times that the Bible talks about peace. The last part of the verse, have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Follow after those things which make for peace. The Bible teaches us. It's a blessing to be able to be at peace with one another, but also to be at peace with the very God who created us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Again, you pick up an outline in the back and take your own notes. You can add to these. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When he says through our Lord Jesus Christ, that means through what Jesus accomplished. Had Jesus not died the death that he died, there's no way that we could have peace with God. But also, we have forgiveness and salvation. I mentioned last week, and I'm going to hit it again, there's no saved people outside the Lord's church, this side of the cross. Now, sometimes people may say, well, you're saying that there are no people in the Old Testament that were saved. They weren't in the church. That's right, they were not in the church, but they were saved under the law of which they lived. All these died in faith, Hebrews 11, verse 13, after he gives a lengthy list of people who are obedient unto God, Abraham, Noah, and Rahab, and the list goes on and on. But you got to be in the Lord's church in order to have forgiveness. Ephesians 1, 7, Colossians 1, verse 14, Romans 3 and then verse 25 talks about the forgiveness of sins that we have. Hebrews 9, 28, to them which look for him the second time shall he appear without spot unto salvation. In Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. But I tell you another thing we have. Number four, we have fellowship. Someone mentioned to me on the way out the door this morning, rightfully so, that they know something else we do not have. We talked about this morning, things we don't have. He said we don't have coffee and donuts. I agree with you, Carlo. When you walk into the auditorium or into the building this morning, if you smell the pizza and the coffee and the donuts, we have that which we ought not to have in the building. We have fellowship, and it's of a spiritual nature. What we're doing right now is joining with one another in a joint participation of spiritual things. Therefore, we don't have to have some wing added on that says fellowship hall. We have one right here of which we're joining together in spiritual things that God expects us to have. Acts 2 and in verse 42. They that gladly received his word were baptized, verse 41. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And that fellowship is also talked about in 1 John 1. Verses 3 through 7. I count it a great joy to have fellowship with those of like precious faith like we have tonight. As you think about things that we do have, we have access to the Father. We just read a moment ago from the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 7. Notice, if you will, back in the book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians I mentioned to you is before is a book that makes several points that focuses on the Lord's church. And the book of Colossians, which is a good companion to the book of Ephesians, and many things found in Ephesians is found in Colossians, and it talks about the preeminence of Christ, the fact that Christ is all in all and head over all, and the Father is all in all. But in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We direct our prayers unto God the Father through Christ. You see that point? We're just talking about worship this morning before coming to the building. And the fact that God is to be worshipped, There's no doubt about that. Worship God. You find in the book of Revelation, "See thou do it not," when John fell at the feet of the one who spoke to him, and he said, "I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren." "See thou do it not," worship God, so we don't worship angels. When Peter came to Cornelius, Cornelius fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Peter said, "Stand up, I myself am a man." Worship God. So we don't worship angels, we don't worship man, we don't worship the devil. The devil said to the Lord in Matthew 4, "All these kingdoms will I give thee if you'll fall down and worship me." Jesus said, it is written, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So we don't worship the devil, we worship God. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we talked about that this morning because of the question that came up, a religious body that said, "Where is the scripture that says we're to worship God?" Well, there's plenty that say that we're to worship God and not man. We have access because of Christ to God. But when you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and then verse 16, let us therefore, and he's talking about in the context of this, about Jesus being our high priest. When you go back up to verse 14, "Seeing then that we have such a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now watch the last verse. "Let us therefore," we talked about the word therefore in the Bible class this morning, draws a conclusion in light of what's just been stated. "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So as a result of what Jesus did, we have access to the Father. But then I'm thankful for these next couple of points, as I am for all of these. But the fact that we have hope. Hope gets us through a lot of things when we have difficulties in life. A hope that the world doesn't have, but they can have it if they'll obey the gospel. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, "For you are saved by hope." Hope is an anchor of the soul, the Bible talks about in Hebrews 6 and in verse 19. "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven," Paul talks about in Colossians 1 verses 5 and verse 23. Where is it at, Paul? "It's laid up for you in heaven, wherefore, whereof you have heard before in the word, the truth of the gospel, which is come into all the world." They preached it to every creature that was under heaven, just as the Lord commissioned them to in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15, and Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and following. So we have hope that you can't have outside the Lord's church. One last point. We have eternal life. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, God, who had promised eternal life, who cannot lie, promised before the world began, sent His Son that we might have eternal life, John chapter 3 and then verse 16. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord," Romans 6 and then verse 23. 1 Timothy 6 and then verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life." And Paul then writes and talks about that eternal life, the crown of life that he would receive in 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8. And so we have an anticipation of eternal life when this life is over. That great judgment scene that is talked about in Matthew chapter 25, those on the left, these would go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal, Matthew 25 and then verse 46. As Ray read this morning, did a good job again this evening with Ephesians. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. We've talked about last week in the church, this morning, some things that the Lord's church does not have. Tonight, some things that the church does have. And I hope that these series of three lessons has been beneficial to you. You may be here tonight, not a Christian. You may say, "Preacher, I want to become one. How do I become a Christian?" You do what they did in the Bible to become one, just like we talked about this morning. It hasn't changed, I assure you, from this morning to this evening. To do the same thing that they did, hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, to believe in Jesus. Believe that He is the Son of God, John 8, verse 24. Repent, that is to change your mind about what you've been doing. Evidenced by a change of life, like John the Immerser, John the, because he was the only one, John the Baptist, talked about in the book of Matthew chapter 3, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. Luke 13, 3, except you repent, shall likewise perish. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, like the eunuch did. In Acts 8, 37, the Lord commanded it, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and in verse 38. Why on earth do they? To wash away your sins, Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. By the water? No, by the blood, Revelation 1, 5. When you do that, you'll arise to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 3 through 5. A new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Added to the one body of the New Testament that we've talked about for three sermons now, Acts 2 and in verse 47. Preacher, I've done that, but I've not been faithful. What do I do now? Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. 1 John 1:9. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.